ask you to ponder with me, first of all, the place of this gospel. The text says, I don't have time to pull down a map and show you all this, but the text basically says that Jesus left the Jewish regions and went across the lake to a place called the Decapolis. Now, young people, just try to do your vocabulary with me for a minute. How much is a decade? It's 10 years. So the first part of the word Decapolis means dec, means 10, right? So we first know that the word Decapolis has something to do with 10. And the word polis, like to go to Annapolis, we call it Annapolis, or to go to Indianapolis, we call it Indianapolis, but polis means what? It means a town or a city. So the area of the Decapolis is the area of 10 cities. So there were 10 villages or 10 cities in this region called the Decapolis. See, they didn't go to Annapolis, they went to Decapolis. All right, well, they don't get it. That's all right. But in the end, what's more important for us is that this is an area of largely Gentile people. There are some Jewish people living in the Decapolis, but most of them were not believers in the God of Israel. So Jesus goes into sort of unbelieving territory. And that's where this gospel takes place. Now, I just want to say, brothers and sisters, especially those of us who are older, that's increasingly the world we live in too, isn't it? We're increasingly in a world of unbelievers. Those who do not any longer go to church, some of them are just indifferent to faith, and some are hostile to faith. But we're increasingly living in a world that is hostile or indifferent to God, an unbelieving age. Now, did that stop Jesus? Jesus went right on preaching. He went right on teaching, right on healing. Guess what? Are you praying with me, church? That's us too. You know, it's easy for us to lament and say, well, and a lot of us who are older do remember a time when more people went to church, more people believed in God. We talked about God, most of us, even though we went to public school. I went to public school. Guess what? I prayed in public school. We still said prayers when I was a kid in public school. Put on the intercom and, oh, Principal Mr. Bulwell, he got on there. He said, now, all y'all stand up now. And he read from the King James Bible. And we said the Lord's Prayer with the, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We all said the Pledge of Allegiance. And that was our morning routine, even in the public schools when I was a youngster. Unthinkable today. That's the world we're living in, more and more secular, more and more godless. But you know, it's one thing to complain, it's another thing to just get busy. And Jesus just gets busy, doesn't he? It simply says, and immediately they brought him somebody, and Jesus just went to work. Are you praying with me? You know, today, a lot of us wait for the right situation to speak God's word. You know, some of us, for example, say, well, if I just didn't have so many nuts falling out of my family tree, I would preach the Word of God. Or if only things weren't so hostile and so hard, and I would do more about teaching about God. We always want to wait for the weather to be fine. And you know, again, Jesus didn't worry about that stuff. He just got right to work. So the first thing we want to see is just the place. Jesus is in an unbelieving place. Now, there's a man brought to him who is deaf and has a speech impediment. We can talk all we want about the physical problems, but remember, in the Bible, physical problems point to spiritual problems. So in this unbelieving world, the place, which is an unbelieving world, there is a problem. And the problem is there's a man who has not heard so that he can speak. Church, that is a problem for many people today. They have not authentically heard the Word of God, and so they cannot speak. And I want to just say, there's any number of reasons that there may be this deafness in our world today. But first of all, stop with me and think. Again, let's remember, this physical deafness is pointing to a spiritual deafness. And we live in a world today where many are deaf to the Word of God. Now, one reason that people are deaf is simply that they have not heard. And guess what? That's on us. That is on us. Listen, you and I were baptized. And when we were baptized, we were made prophets who are to speak God's word to this world. And the fact that there are so many today who have not heard the word of God is something that we should be troubled by. You know, again, most of us who are older remember a time when churches were full, when people were generally more observant and they knew the basic Bible stories. And within about 30 to 40 years, all of that has fallen. And guess what? It happened on our watch. It happened in a nation predominated by Christians. It happened on our watch. And we just got to say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We have gone through a period where I know there are many cultural revolutions that have taken place, a few good, most of them bad. A lot of things have swept through our culture and have made things rather difficult for us. And yet, we simply have to accept the fact that an awful lot of people have not heard about the scriptures, about the teachings of the church. From us, they've had to hear from secular media, and they don't treat it with respect. And so it is that many today are deaf to God's word. Now listen, Pope Paul VI asked a question. He said, some people ask me, the Pope, are those who have never heard of Jesus, can they be saved? And he said, wrong question. The question is, can we be saved for having failed to preach it to them? Are you praying with me? So, one of the reasons that this man is deaf is that somebody wasn't doing their job. Deaf to the Word of God. And there's a lot of deafness out there today. Now, there's other reasons for deafness, though, and it's more personal. I'm just going to say it. Some folks are stubborn. Some folks just turn a deaf ear. So that even when we are speaking the word, they don't want to hear it. What was that you said? I didn't quite hear you. Are you praying with me, church? I'm seeing a lot of blank stares. Is there too much echo? Some folks have a self-induced deafness. You know, when I was a youngster, a teenager, I liked to listen to loud music, loud rock, put on the headphones and go to work. I would only dance when nobody was looking. Somebody said to me, Father, why don't you dance? And I said, pride. But my father would often say to me, son, you got to turn the volume down. You're going to lose your hearing. Now, there's kind of an analogy there. You know, if all you're doing is turning up the volume of the world, listening to its music, its messages, and if all you are doing is cranking the music, or it's not just music, but just turning up the volume on all the things of the world, if all that's all you do and you keep turning up that volume, pretty soon you start to lose your hearing. And the small, still voice of God whispering in your soul, you can't hear it anymore. And the more worldly we become, the more the scriptures start to seem obnoxious, start to seem too demanding, start to sound crazy, because the world and its sounds are in our head, and we can no longer hear the voice of God. Church, pay attention. That's self-induced deafness. So there's some folks in our world today that are deaf to God's word just because we haven't been doing our job. And there's some folks that are deaf because they've turned a deaf ear. They've turned up the volume of the world and can no longer hear the voice of God. And you know, brothers and sisters, all of us, in that second category, all of us struggle to some extent. You know, because the world is coming at us, right? The world has a lot of volume. But God whispers. God is very respectful. Satan's in your face. Buy this. You got to have that. Do this. Don't think that way. Think this way. Everyone go get a piercing. Everyone get tattooed. Everyone dress like this. He's in our face. And God whispers, I didn't make you for all that. I made you to know me. I made you for love. I made you for heaven. But the volume is up. We're going deaf. It's hard to hear the word of God. Brothers and sisters, we can very well be this deaf man. We very well can be the one who struggles to hear. So we see a man who is deaf. But you know, that's not our only problem. The second problem this man has is that he has a speech impediment. Now, those who have worked with the deaf, especially those who have been deaf from birth, often know that those who are deaf do struggle to speak at all. And those who can often have a difficulty in pronouncing the words. They've never heard them. And so part of our struggle to have our own tongue loosed is that we have never really heard the Word of God effectively proclaimed. Some of us struggled because we had poor catechesis. And you know, we're having a hard time in the church to know how to teach the faith well when our families and culture are just falling apart. It's not easy. And we keep trying to find more effective ways to teach the faith. But in the end, an awful lot of us struggle. We have a speech impediment because we never had the Word of God put in our ears in the first place. We have not authentically heard the Word of God proclaimed effectively. And so we struggle to speak it. Pray for preachers. Pray for priests. We're trying to get better, more effective. The church is trying to find new ways through the internet to reach people so that the faith can come into our ears and also through our eyes so that there's something on the inside, because you can't give what you don't have. And an awful lot of people don't know much about the faith, so they have little to say. Because the hearing and the deafness, there's a speech impediment. But I'll tell you, there's another reason that a lot of us have a speech impediment. Because a lot of us may know a lot about the faith, but our tongue is still all tied up. And you know what mostly ties it up? Fear. What will people say? Well, maybe they'll challenge me and ask me a question I can't answer. Or maybe they'll confront me with my own sins or the sins of the church. If I speak, I might be in a difficult place. I might be ridiculed, laughed at. I might look stupid. I might be stupid. I might not really know. I might be in over my head. I can't risk it. My ego would be too bruised. Now, that's fear. You know, the martyrs went to their death speaking Jesus. We're afraid if somebody just raises an eyebrow. But that's kind of where we are. A lot of us struggle with fear. And so it is, our tongue is tied. We have a speech impediment. So church, Jesus goes into an unbelieving place just like we live in. And he found a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And that's us. To one degree or another, we all have this trouble of being able to hear the Word of God in a loud world and to be able to let it enter our mind and heart so that we can articulate it. And so you see the vision. There's a problem. But now the Lord goes to work with this man. Let's look at how the Lord heals him. And it's very picturesque. He sticks his fingers in the guy's ear. And then he spits and touches the man's tongue. I say, ooh, they're going like, ooh, gross. It gets our attention, though, doesn't it? We live in a kind of a squeamish culture where, you know, don't put your fingers in somebody's ear and saliva, please. We don't want to go anywhere near that. And so that's where we are. But it gets our attention. The Lord goes to work and he touches this man. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that the healing is very personal. Jesus takes the man aside, away from the crowd. You see, he doesn't want to run a carnival show and use this man to do theatrics. He loves this man. He respects this man too much to put him up for display. And you know, the Lord loves every one of us, and he respects us too much to do the kind of healing he needs to do. He often takes us aside and privately speaks and works in our heart. All of us have reasons that we're afraid, the source of our speech impediment, or all of us have reasons that we have trouble hearing. And the Lord knows more about those reasons than we do. But instead of always putting us up for public display, he takes us aside. He works quietly with us. And if we're open to his ministry, the Lord can do a healing work in our life. So the Lord privately works with this man. And let the Lord privately work with you. Talk to the Lord about your fear of speaking the gospel to co-workers. You know, Cardinal Wuerl told a story yesterday at a meeting. Cardinal Wuerl was on a plane and he sat down and a woman sat down next to him and she said, "Are you saved?" You know, wearing the Roman collar. And he says, "Yeah," she says, "when?" He says, "The day I was baptized. And I've been walking with the Lord ever since." And they started to talk about the faith. But you know, that woman had courage, didn't she? How many of us would sit down next to someone on the plane and say, "Do you know Jesus Christ? What's your church?" Now, some of you do. Praise the Lord. A lot of folks are like, "I wouldn't talk like that." In fact, I'm going to tell you the truth. I always wear my clerics when I get on an airplane because that's the time I can meet folks. But a lot of my brother priests, they don't wear clerics when they get on a plane. They're just, "Ooh, I'm too scared," you know. But you see, that's courage. But to what, whether you have that courage or don't, the Lord knows why. Talk to the Lord. And talk to the Lord if you're struggling. You know, you all turned in a name of someone you were going to pray with and walk with. And I know that journey hasn't been easy, and it takes courage. And maybe you've gotten around to really working with them, and maybe you say, "I'll do that tomorrow." But talk to the Lord about what keeps you from doing it, what makes you afraid, or the difficulty of hearing in order to be able to speak. So the Lord privately takes the man aside, and he then touches his ears, almost as if he were putting his word in his ears. And he touches his tongue as if to say, "From my mouth to yours. From my mouth to yours." Now, I do a lot of preaching. And I want you to know something. A lot of times, I hear stuff come out of my mouth, and I say, "Where did that come from? I didn't plan to say it. It just came up, and suddenly I was saying it." A lot of times, I haven't known what to say or do in certain situations, and the Lord just put his word in my mouth, and I'm surprised at his grace and what the Lord can do. You know, I know a lot of you've had similar experiences where maybe you were with someone and the Lord just gave you what to say right there in that moment. Any witnesses? The Lord touching your tongue, setting it loose. You didn't know what to say, you were all tongue-tied. And yet somehow the Lord put something on your tongue to say. And so there's this beautiful healing that takes place for this man. Now, not only is it a personal healing and a picturesque healing where the Lord literally touches him, but finally it's a pure healing because it says when the man is healed, he speaks plainly. And the Greek word that we translate plainly here is orthos, orthos. Now let me go back to my young people again, and what's the point of going to the orthodontist? What's the goal?
To get braces.
To get braces, but why do you wear the braces? To make your teeth straight, that's correct. She's got braces, by the way. Orthos in Greek means straight, correct, or true. That something is correct or straight or true. And so that's where we get the word orthodoxy. It means to have correct or true belief. Not heresy or confused or erroneous belief, but the true faith. And so the man has his tongue loose, not to run around and gossip, not to run around and tell lies, not to run around and spread error, but to speak the truth, to speak the true faith. Are you praying with me, church? Now you need and I need to ask God to put His word in our ears, His true word, to let it enter our heart and our mind, and to then speak that true word, to speak the truth, to speak it plain. In other words, to speak what is true, what is correct doctrine. And so again, this is the gift that the Lord wants to give us. Now, I need to bring it to a conclusion. But I want to just say this. After the Lord heals this man, the people start crying out. He has done all things well. But the funny thing is, and this, you got to figure the Lord has a sense of humor. The Lord's got His tongue in His cheek. Because here's this guy that couldn't hear and couldn't speak, and the Lord gives him hearing, and he starts to speak. And then the Lord says, don't tell anybody. He enables him to speak and then says not a word to anyone. Come on, church. Don't tell me Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor. I'm sure He's got His tongue firmly in His cheek. Not a word now. He winked at him. Not a word to anybody. And I got it on the best of authority that when the man got healed, he said he started singing a gospel song. He said, I thought I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. And I started walking, started talking, started singing, started shouting, oh, what the Lord has done for me. I tell you, I have it on the best of authority. That's exactly what he was singing that very day. Now, you see, he's able to speak. And I doubt that he had all the doctrine correct exactly right away. But you know, I think sometimes we worry too much about the details. What if somebody asks me a question and I don't know how to answer it? What if somebody raises something about the Crusades? What will I say? Just shrug and say, I'll get back to you on that. But listen, you know who the world famous authority on you is? You. You know what the Lord has done for you. You are the world famous expert on what the Lord is doing in your life. Are you praying with me? Nobody can speak with greater authority than you about what the Lord is doing in your life. Start there. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is at work in my life. And listen, regarding deafness and regarding being able to speak, I want you to know I'm a witness. There was a time in my life when I was a teenager and into early college where I had a lot of wax in my ears. She said, ew. I'm not talking about literal wax. I'm saying I had my fingers in my ears. I said, I know a few things. You can't teach me. I know a few things. Yes, I did know a very few things. But little by little, I don't know how, I'm just going to say, the Lord put his fingers in my ears, started to put his word there. I know it was that my mother was praying, and I know that my grandmother was praying, but I want you to know, the Lord began to open my ears. And not just my ears, he said, Ephphatha, which means be opened, not only to my ears, but to my heart and to my mind. Are you praying with me, church? And the Lord started to put his word in my heart and in my mind. And I started to get enthusiastic, and I started to feel and understand what the Lord was getting at. And eventually I went to seminary, and boy, talk about pouring words into my ears there. Amen. I came out knowing a lot of big stuff, had a big brain, still had a tiny heart. But in the end, he started to open my ears. And you know, I used to be shy. I couldn't even get in front of four or five people and talk. I'd kind of hang my head down, be shy. Well, now look at me, right? I said, man, somebody turn him off. Where's the off switch? The Lord has loosened my tongue. I'm not afraid to speak anymore. And I'm not afraid to, it's one thing to stand 30 feet in a pulpit, 30 feet away from everybody, but even in my family and other places, I'm able to speak the truth in love. I guess it does help to have a collar. But in the end, brothers and sisters, increasingly the Lord is loosening my tongue so that I can speak the truth plainly and with love. I love to talk about the Lord. I love to proclaim his word. Oh, you can't shut me up. And so it is, you see, I'm a witness. Are you a witness? You see, they get excited when they see what the Lord does and they say, he has done all things well. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. He's opening my ears. He's opening my mind. He's opening my heart. He's giving me a new vision. He's showing me new things. I've seen things I never thought I'd see. I've seen his love at work. I'm rejoicing in his power in my life. I'm seeing sins put to death. I'm seeing grace come alive. And I have tested his word in the laboratory of my own life and found it to be true. That's what the Lord's doing for me. Church, that's your testimony. You just personalize it, but start talking about what the Lord is doing in your life. You see, the Lord has done a marvelous thing, and the Lord is blessing us. God's been good to us, amen? Tell somebody how good God has been to you. He's done great things in my life. Yes, I've struggled. I'm not going to tell you I haven't had crosses, but the Lord is doing and has done great things for me. And all the points of doctrine and all that will come later, but just start telling somebody how good God has been. Lord, open my ears. Put your word there. Open my eyes to see what you're doing. And loose my tongue so that I can speak the truth in love. And speak it with joy. He's done great things for me. Amen.